Hello, and welcome into another edition of Find the Edge with Nick and Cody, coming at you with our Week 12 best bets. Can't believe it's already Week 12, Cody, coming at you on a fine Saturday morning. How are we feeling today, bud?
Yeah, I'm feeling good. Don't skip my Saturday, please. I need these 2 days off of work. Yeah, so, yeah, 100%. I mean, I'm as excited for Sunday as anybody. But yeah, I'm going to enjoy this day off of work for sure. No, I'm doing good, man. It's good. I'm excited for this week. I mean, like you said, it's already week 12. That sucks. I mean, after this week, just five more weeks. 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, I guess 6 more weeks. So, yeah, kind of crazy to think that we're coming down the home stretch already. Feels like week one, week two is just a couple weeks ago. So, that kind of stinks. But I feel good about this week. Obviously, coming off a win on Thursday Night Football, Browns plus 3.5. So, that felt pretty good.
Very nice.
And, hopefully looking to keep the winning ways going into the weekend. And, That pick there right there got me back to 28-28 on the season. So finally battled back to 500 and hopefully looking to go 3-1 or 4-0 over the weekend and get myself into the green. So excited for it. How are you doing today?
I'm doing all right. It's really nice here actually this morning. Super sunny, a little cold, but definitely nice enough to go on a little walk after the pod. Might take my dogs out for a little jaunt, but yeah, we're doing okay. That call on Thursday, Cody, that was great. Browns were the right side the whole way through, even though they almost blew it at the end. I don't think you were ever really in that much jeopardy of losing the cover. So great call by you. Very deserved 1-0 start to the week. With that in mind, since you only have four, I'll kick it off here with my first best bet of the Sunday slate. That's going to be Minnesota-Chicago under 39.5. This one's pretty straightforward. We have been discussing kind of the fade of both of these offenses the past couple of weeks. Chicago looked a little better under the new offensive coordinator, Thomas Brown, last week against the Green Bay Packers, but the Minnesota Vikings are an entirely different beast. First in success rate, first in EPA per play, first in EPA per rush, fourth in EPA per pass against as a defense. They are truly an elite unit. This is a really tall task for Caleb Williams, who has seriously struggled with pressure. That is basically the biggest, notch in the hat of the Vikings defense, is they bring pressure better than anybody. So it's going to be a tough look for him. The only offenses to score more than 17 versus the Vikings so far this year: Green Bay on the road, Detroit, and LA Rams on the road. So I don't think the Chicago Bears offense really belongs in the discussion with any of those three teams. And with that in mind, I think we can pretty confidently say that they're going to end up around 17 or maybe under that number. And the Vikings offense, they have not scored more than 23 points on offense since week 4. They did have 29 points in the Detroit game, but they scored 6 on the scoop and score from their defense. So if we can avoid a defensive touchdown, either from Sam Darnold or Caleb Williams, which unfortunately is fairly possible, I think we are going to cruise to this under relatively easily. I guess 23-17 is the only score I have to avoid with these recent trends in mind, because I'd be losing it by a half point. But I'm willing to take that risk. I see a low-scoring divisional battle on deck.
Yeah, absolutely. This is one that I loved as well on when we recorded Thursday. So, yeah, I think this is a great bet. I think all of it makes a lot of sense. And I think – I don't know if Action Network has changed it, but I think you said on Thursday there was like less than 20% of tickets and over – or, sorry, over – yeah, less than 20% of tickets.
17% of tickets, 36% of money. That is there what you want to see when you're betting an under.
There we go. Yep. Okay. Goodness gracious. Yep. I think you're on the right side of that one for sure. My second bet of the week, maybe walking into this one a little bit, but I don't care. I'll walk right into it. Buccaneers -5.5 at the Giants. I know it was at 6 earlier. It's at 5.5 on FanDuel. So again, make sure you shop your numbers, get the best of the number. Absolutely. Honestly, I know that I may be walking into this one. I'm sure that all the pros would probably be telling you to take the Giants because it's a very ugly spot, but I just can't get myself to do it. Honestly, the way that this Giants team has been talking to the media this week, it just makes me feel like they've probably given up on their coach, and they may just have an absolutely terrible end to the season, even worse than they've had coming up to this point. Multiple players coming out saying Daniel Jones should still be starting. He's the best quarterback on the team. You have the Drew Lock situation where they paid him $5 million this year to be the backup, just completely skipped over him for Tommy DeVito. And then on the Bucs side, it is looking like we may have Mike Evans back. That is huge for me. Gives them the down the field threat that they have been lacking. So their offense should look a little bit more smooth. Should be able to kind of pick up some chunk plays as opposed to the super efficient offense that they have been running, which I like quite a bit, especially when you're having to cover a larger number like this. And then again, on the Giants side, with Tommy DeVito, he may have a heroic play here or there, but over the course of 60 minutes, he's gonna have turnovers. He's gonna make mistakes and, you know, miss open guys. Just that's what you have with a third string quarterback that's probably on the verge of really not even being in the NFL. If teams weren't allowed to carry three quarterbacks this year like they have been, who knows if he's even in this spot to play in this game? So, Again, I know it's kind of one that I may be walking into it. If I walk into it and I'm wrong, I'm okay with it. I just feel like this Bucs team is so much better than this Giants. To get him at less than a touchdown with playing against Tommy DeVito, absolutely have to take it. Really, the Giants are going to try and run the football. The Buccaneers have been okay against the run. So, I just have to take this spot. So, Buccaneers -5.5, probably with the public on this one, but it's just a spot. I couldn't even think about taking the other side, so I have to go Buccaneers.
Yeah, you certainly are with the public, but the number's been going your direction all week. Books probably trying to get some Giants money on the other side because they're fearful of what you expect here, a Buccaneers win handily. Their schedule, if you look at it, it's pretty amazing how many really good teams this Buccaneers team has played so far. Yeah. Didn't look like it off the outset just because we didn't know some of these teams were going to end up being in the upper echelon. But Washington, Detroit, Denver, Philadelphia, Atlanta twice, they're okay, but they were missing some guys both times they played them and played close games. New Orleans, the only team that they have played that I would call a bad team. Atlanta twice, Baltimore, Kansas City, and San Francisco. That schedule, absolutely brutal for the Tampa Bay Bucs, so probably better than the 4-6 record they currently have, and getting Evans back, I agree with you, should be a boost. Hopefully the offense doesn't look rusty out of the bye. I think that'd be my only concern. But yeah, if they Baker comes out and looks like he has basically all season, I think they will outscore the DeVito-led Giants pretty easily here and should win by margin. My next best bet, I'm assuming I'm going to be sharing this one with Cody so we can tackle it together, but Carolina +11 at home against the Kansas City Chiefs. Patrick Mahomes, four times he has been a double-digit favorite on the road in his career. He's 0-3-1 against the spread. If you're worried about backing the other side with the Chiefs coming off a loss, that's a fair concern to have. Mahomes is 13-9-1 against the spread after a straight-up loss in his career. However, only 2-5-1 as a 7.5-point favorite or larger in that same spot. So he's really eaten in positions where he's had a lower number to cover. That's really been his entire career, and especially this year, that has really been the case as well. The Chiefs have only won by this number once so far this year, and it was 13 points against the Saints at home after Derek Carr got injured in the fourth quarter. Might have been able to get his team within that number if he had not gotten injured in the game. So yeah. I think the main thing with Carolina here is that we are just looking at a regular bad team now, not a historically bad one like we were dealing with for the last 20 or so games before Bryce Young came back from his most recent benching. Since returning, 5.9 yards per attempt. It's not great, but it was 5.4 before, so he's improving. Four touchdowns and three interceptions in three games versus 11 touchdowns and 14 interceptions in 18 games before the benching. I think this is a really similar spot that we played Las Vegas a few weeks ago. They were only 7.5-point dogs at home. I think the teams are of similar quality, and we're getting 3.5 more points. We like the divisional angle in that Vegas side, so you don't get that here with the Panthers, but I think they'll be motivated coming out of their bye. They've got a lot of guys coming back from injury, Adam Thielen, Jonathan Brooks. I see them being pretty motivated. This is probably their Super Bowl to some degree. They're feeling good about themselves. I think they can keep this within 11. It's just such a big number.
Yeah, absolutely. And they're playing the Raiders next Friday as well, so not a complete short week like they had to play Thursday, but definitely kind of a look-ahead spot just because of the divisional matchup. Obviously, the Raiders won in Arrowhead during Christmas last year, so I do feel like they could be looking ahead to that game, especially with the way that the Panthers are just perceived throughout the league. I do have an interesting stat. I think Nick kind of hit on all the main points I wanted to, but just kind of a fun one here. Teams that are favored by double digits this year are undefeated against the spread through week 11. That is the first time that has happened since the 1950s. And in fact, the last time that it did happen was less than 10 years since handicapping games began. So kind of wild that it's been that long since these big favorites have been able to cover like this. But
yeah,
that stat doesn't really do anything for me. I mean, we've hammered the Chiefs as big favorites this entire hammered against the Chiefs as big favorites this entire season. And I don't see that changing. I mean, I know the Panthers are kind of a lowly team. But at the same time, this Chiefs team just plays down to their competition. They give up, you know, they love to give up late fourth quarter touchdowns to help cover these spreads, all these little things here and there that just make these numbers even more playable. So yeah, it doesn't feel great because there is a chance that this Panthers team could always revert back, but I think their offensive line's playing a lot better, which no surprise there. They brought in a bunch of different offensive linemen, paid for, I think, two or three of them during the offseason, and it takes time for an offensive line to gel. I mean, if you've been watching football for any period of time, you know that offensive line is, one, important, super important, and two, it's a very cohesive unit, and when you bring in a bunch of new guys, especially when they've kind of had a flip-flop at quarterback throughout the season, it's difficult for them to kind of gel the way that they want. But I think they're sticking with Bryce Young. I feel like their offensive line is going to be playing better. And I know the Chiefs do have a really good run defense, but Chuba Hubbard has been playing phenomenal this season, especially as of late. I don't see that changing, especially coming off of a bye. And they also get They get Jonathan Brooks, a rookie coming in. Not that he'll have a whole bunch of opportunity, but fresh legs at the running back position this late in the season, you don't see that very often, and that can make a huge impact. Especially a Chiefs team that had an early bye, haven't had a bye in quite a while, and they're about to go into a short week. So I do feel like there's a chance that this Panthers team is going to be able to run the ball, even though the Chiefs defense has been really good at stopping it. So yeah, Panthers plus 11. I feel like that's, we said it on Thursday. It was basically an auto bet from that point on.
Yeah. I'm glad that it held here. I like getting this number above 10. It just gives me a lot of confidence that even, if we go down 14 early, I don't feel like we're completely dead here. I think we can get in the back door with such a big number on our side. My next best bet is going to be New England plus 7 on the road at Miami. Another game we're going against the trends. We backed this one a lot last year and had some success with it. That is backing Miami, even laying big numbers at home against perceived bad teams. But I just do not trust this Miami team. I think they got lucky to win by margin over a really bad Vegas team last week. The line was 7.5 in that game. It's now 7 in this one, and I like this Patriots team a lot more than the Raiders team that just played against Miami last week. They're very similar quality, I would say. The coaches are even kind of similar. You know, you have kind of a rah-rah former middle linebacker types coaching both of these teams. I could see them sort of having similar styles, but New England has a great young quarterback that has shown himself capable of moving the ball down the field and making plays, and Drake May, and Vegas Raiders do not have that. So I trust May to, again, if we go down 14 early in this game, I don't think we're dead. I think he could definitely bring us back late and get us in the back door. But I also think there's a chance the Patriots just straight up compete in this game. It's been a long time since they've covered a spread against Miami. I think I gave this out on Thursday, but it was, I believe, eight straight games Miami has covered the spread against New England. So I think they're going to be motivated. And I think this Miami team getting a little bit too much respect for that win last week against Vegas. That was a little luckier than the scoreline might indicate.
Yep, 100%. I love this bet as well. I'll definitely have a little bit of a wager on it. Not making my five, but I'm glad that you put it in yours because I think this is definitely a good one to have as a podcast here. So love that one. And yeah, I agree. Like the difference between the Raiders and the Patriots are the Patriots at least have a really good young quarterback that they can build around, and the Raiders are just falling on their face as the season comes to a close. So love it. My fourth one here, I assume one of these last two we'll probably have together, maybe both, but Titans plus 7.5 at the Titans plus 7.5 at the Texans.
I'm showing a whole lot of football here.
Don't use FanDuel Sportsbook. find that 8.5 and go grab it. Okay, love that even more. really just a spot play for me. This Texans team has been very underwhelming this year. You know, they've really, if they wouldn't have signed Joe Mixon in the offseason, they probably would be having a very disappointing season as a team. Obviously had some offensive injuries, but they're also just one of the most penalized teams in the NFL. I believe Laremy Tunsil is the most penalized tackle in the NFL as well, so could have some kind of penalty luck maybe go our way in this game. Honestly, it just comes down to this Texans run defense. If they can slow down Joe Mixon, then I expect this game to be a low-scoring game, and if you're going to give me more than a touchdown in a game where I don't see very many points being scored, then I have to take it. You also get the divisional underdog, and again, you kind of get the little bit of the Houston rivalry here. Obviously, the Titans, formerly the Oilers, coming from Houston, so I do feel like these teams kind of have a little bit of extra rivalry within the division as well. Not a whole lot on the football side besides the Titans defense that I could back. Obviously, very gross backing Will Levis here, but just a spot that I want to play, and I just feel like I have to take it. So Titans +8.5 at the Texans.
Yeah, C.J. Stroud's been pretty straightforward throughout his career so far in that as a big favorite, you usually don't want to back him, and as a dog, you usually do. That is kind of how a lot of good quarterbacks operate, and C.J. Stroud's been no different. So the numbers would tell you to take the Titans here, and I think this the matchup would as well. I think this Titans defense has a chance to give the Texans offense some trouble. They really just haven't looked right so far this year. I know Nico Collins coming back could remedy some things that ail a pass game, but I don't think it's going to fix everything. And this Tennessee front, I just think has a real matchup advantage over this Texans offensive line that, like you alluded to, has struggled more than anticipated so far this year. And they are good at stopping the run as well, so that could help neutralize their biggest asset in Joe Mixon. And then, yeah, like you said, we talked about this on Thursday. I don't have a ton to say about Will Levis in the offense. We're just kind of hoping that he doesn't give the game away and that he can put up a competitive effort, give us 17 points, and that should be enough to get us to a cover here, especially with 8.5. That's just a really good number. Titans are 1-9 against the spread, so this is a take some balls to put this bet down. But I think when you have a team that is 1-9 against the spread, like we said on Thursday, they're not going to go 1-16. You know, the books start pricing it in. They give you extra points because people want to come in on the other side. So I think this Tennessee bets, I'm glad you put it in. This was my sixth. So I was considering fifth bet that I'll get to later for my last spot. So I'm glad that you have it in there. My fourth best bet of the Sunday slate, we're going to go Detroit -7.5. It's super chalky. All the trends point to taking the Colts here. And not backing this Lions team that, similarly to the Titans team, just the other way, has just been covering basically everything the past couple years. But I'm trusting my eyes here with the Lions. I think this team is just a little bit different than most really good teams year to year. I think they are truly, an elite once in every 5 to 10 years type of team. The matchup on paper just doesn't line up for me for the Colts. A lot of pros have been talking about, you know, taking the Colts here. The number's coming down because it was at 8.5. Now it's 7.5. It was at 7 for a second, bounced back to 7.5, unfortunately for us. But I think it's really all of the arguments are just based off trends. And I don't think that's good enough for me in this situation with a Lions team that has just broken trends consistently. We're indoors with Goff. That's a spot that you always want to take him. 30-10 with the Lions against the spread. Absolutely ridiculous. And the Colts defense the past 6 weeks has been bottom five in EPA against the rush. That's just not going to do it against this Lions team. Goff doesn't even have to. That's kind of what you need. Like you need to be the Texans. You need to have the ability to stop the run up front and then hope Goff has a bad game like he did. They still lost the game, but they did cover the spread. I think that's just the type of matchup that you need. I think next week against the Bears, even though their rush defense hasn't been very good, they've been able to stop the Lions rushing attack the past couple of years. It's a divisional matchup. You know, sometimes those sort of things are just different. That's a spot we might end up backing the Lions, or at least I will, or excuse me, the Bears. But in this spot, I don't see any reason Detroit's not going to completely roll. 7.5 is not a big enough number to scare me off of it. I'm just going to continue to trust Goff indoors against a bad defense. It's just, I don't know. I don't really see how we get away from the Lions here.
Yep, it's a podcast bet. I'm with you on this one as well. Lions -7.5. everything you said, I'll just reiterate again, just their run defense for the Colts. I know we talked about this on Thursday's podcast, but just to run through their last three games against the Jets, 16 rushes, 78 yards and a touchdown. Against the Bills, 31 rush attempts, 135 yards, two touchdowns. And against Minnesota, 32 rush attempts for 133 yards. I mean,
the
Lions are most likely going to be right there with those last two games where they're going to have 30-plus rush attempts cycling in Montgomery and Gibbs, and it's just going to be too overwhelming for this Colts team. Really, the only thing that scares me on this bet is just if Anthony Richardson hits a couple of bombs that score touchdowns. Exactly. So, but he's inconsistent. I don't mind fading Anthony Richardson on a week-to-week basis, especially against a really good team like the Lions. This is the one that, again, like Nick just said, you're just worried about a backdoor cover. You're worried about them being up by 14 and the Colts scoring a useless touchdown late in the game. And honestly, a little bit of a sell high on the Colts. You know, they beat the Jets last week. Not that that's really much to sell high on this season, but there's going to be a lot of people, you know, wanting to back Anthony Richardson after he looks somewhat competent against the Colts, and I'm perfectly fine fading him against a really, really, really good Lions team. So Lions -7.5, absolutely my last bet of the week.
Yeah, the Colts are going to be relying on Anthony Richardson to do the lion's share of work moving the ball down the field in this game. That is just a scary thought as a Colts bettor, because if he doesn't come out and look like he did last week and he's throwing, you know, 45 to 50% completions, I mean, this game could get out of hand really quickly if they can't sustain any drives on offense. And I think they're going to need Anthony Richardson to throw the ball, like I said, because their run defense is so good. And they're, you know, these coaches aren't idiots. I think they are, you know, they're like you and me. They see the Colts offense and say, we're going to stop Jonathan Taylor in the rushing attack and make Anthony Richardson consistently put the ball in the right spots to move the ball down the field. And we'll see if he can do it. I like being on the other side of that bet.
For sure.
Last best bet of the day. We're going to another under. I know I'm being a downer, but that is kind of how I like to roll with these totals. Philadelphia, LA Rams, Sunday Night Football, under 49. Philadelphia's defense since their bye has been absolutely incredible. 12.5 points per game allowed on defense. I did take out 8 points that the Jaguars scored on a defensive touchdown there. So, if you were to put those stats together, just realize that that's how I calculated it. But regardless, their defense has just been completely different since their bye. And I think it makes sense because they brought in that new coordinator this offseason, Vic Fangio, a very, very good defensive coordinator, been consistently good throughout the past, you know, 10 to 15 years with different organizations. But every defensive coordinator takes a little bit of time to implement their system. And I think that's the case here. They've really hit their stride recently. Even last week against Washington, they allowed 18 points, but Daniels and the offense got the garbage time touchdown at the end. It was really a 10-point game for basically the bulk of the contest. They did not do much on offense, and that's a really good team. That Commanders unit is very solid. That was kind of a measuring stick game for the Eagles defense that I think kind of proved that they have sort of arrived. The Rams defense on the other side, they've been sneaky consistent. Only two games so far this year where they have allowed more than 24 points, and that was weeks one and week two. Week one against the Lions, they allowed 26 points, and that was in overtime. So it was 20 going into that overtime period, and then Arizona, they got their ass kicked. 41 points, they absolutely got shredded. No argument against that one, but still, since week two, no games where they have allowed more than 24 points. If we can keep the Eagles under that number here, we are going to fly to this under. I think we could even swallow, you know, 27, 30 points from the Eagles and potentially have a chance to stay under this 49 number. Philadelphia, third lowest pass rate over expectation in the league. The Rams are mid-pack, but I expect a lot of running. Clock should be moving, and 49 is a pretty big total. And we've seen Sunday Night Football unders be an absolute cash cow for us so far this year.
100%, yeah. Yeah, I mean, not too surprising that the Rams drafted two defensive linemen from Florida State who had one of the better pass rushes last year, and it's working out for them well so far their rookie season. So, yeah, and then on the opposite side of it as well, absolutely love backing this Eagles defense. They've been absolutely dominant against wide receivers. That's really where the Rams want to hit you. That's where they want to be able to have their explosive plays and move the football. So, yeah, I love this under. Absolutely great bet. honestly, I feel good about all of these. I feel like we're on the verge of potentially a really good week this week. So, yeah, I don't really have much else to add. Do you have anything else to add?
Go Carolina and go Detroit. That's really going to tell the tale of how our week's going to go. Those podcast bets obviously have an oversized effect on our overall record, but I feel good about it too. Yeah, I like the spots. I think we've got some good looks here. And I just do not get this love for this Colts team. So I'm happy to be proved wrong. I hope, if they end up losing, I just really hope that the Colts actually just win the game, because I'd rather not lose to a backdoor cover. That would hurt a little bit more.
Yeah, absolutely. Honestly, I feel like that game is going to get out of hand for these Colts.
I don't. Yeah, I just don't get it. I really don't.
Yeah, absolutely. All righty. Well, let's get out of here. We'll get this thing posted. We'll be back next week to recap these picks and tell you which lines we like ahead of week 13. Hate saying week 13, way too late into the season, but that is what it is. So, Nick, have a good day. I know you're going to go play some
fuzzball. You want to run through yours real quick?
Oh, yeah. And I'll run through
mine. I forgot to recap. Yeah, I didn't think about that.
Yep, absolutely. All right. Thursday Night Football, we already won that bet, so we're going into the weekend with a little bit of extra cash in our bankroll. Browns plus 3.5. Buccaneers minus 5.5 at the Giants. Panthers plus 11 at home against the Chiefs. Titans plus 8.5 at the Texans, and Lions minus 7.5 at the Colts. I will say, if you're listening to this, as soon as it comes out, I would go grab that Buccaneers number. It's currently sitting at minus 120 on FanDuel, so there is a chance that it ticks up just a little bit. So just wanted to reiterate that. Forgot to mention that earlier.
Yeah, 5.5, a key number before the 6 as well. So if you can find a 5.5, I would scoop it up. Good call there, Cody. Rolling with Cody on a couple podcast bets this week. Carolina plus 11 at home against the Chiefs, and Detroit minus 7.5 on the road against Indy. My other three best bets of the Sunday slate: Minnesota, Chicago under 39.5, New England plus 7 at Miami, and Philadelphia, LA under 49 on Sunday Night Football.
All right, let's get out of here. Nick, have a good weekend. Good luck with your bets, and we'll talk to you guys next week. Peace.